I wish they would get the same two guys that played Mario and Luigi in the Mario and Luigi after school show. Remember that show that came on in the afternoon?
That was Captain Lou Albano.
Was it?
Was it?
Yeah, that was
I had no idea there was one.
That was Cindy Lauper's dad.
Bob Hoskins John Leguizamo. Was that his name?
Was it John Leguizamo? Was Luigi?
Yes.
No way.
In the movie.
Oh, in the movie it was, yeah.
I'm talking about the TV show that came on in the afternoons.
I know what you're talking about.
Or that Saturday was, mornings or something.
That was Captain Lou Albano.
And they would, yeah, they would do like, it was one of those where they'd come on, talk to you and interact or do a little thing, and then they toss it to the cartoon. And then the cartoon would be played in like three segments as a single story throughout the 30 minutes or hour or whatever.
They used to have a song. It went with the Mario song. Swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go do the Mario. Take one step and then
he knows it.
The Mario all together now.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drinking for this episode. I think everybody had enough to, or Jason had enough to drink yesterday for all of us, but thankfully he was behaved himself in the instant reaction show. We got a good one because the Saints actually won. The Jekyll and Hyde Saints are actually, Scott doesn't like that talking point, but so far, that is what we've seen. We've seen good Saints against Green Bay. We've seen bad Saints against Carolina. And then we got, I'm going to say good, even though this might be up for debate later on in the show, especially in the receiver department. But overall, I think the Houdat Nation is happy. I think the Houdat Nation is optimistic. And I think we are one of those teams where the as good as it might be right now, it's only going to get better because we have a whole lot of reinforcements coming. So if you're playing like a video game here and you know that you're fighting the front line and then you've got this new wave of support coming in to back yourself up against the oncoming attacks. I'm in a video game mind today. Sorry about that. So anyway, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Jason's not here, so we'll start with you, Scott. What's your name and what's your number?
My name is Scott. I do not have a number as well. I am in a very good mood today. I had a light bulb go up in my head today as far as the Saints go.
Can't wait to hear it.
And I'm good. Doing well.
All right. Wes, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I have no number. I did just take my first drink of energy drink for the day. So besides water, that's all. Thanks for having me.
All right, and then all the way from England, James, so glad you could join us after losing the Ryder Cup last night, and you have a cold. So good for
I'm
you
losing
for
losing the Ryder Cup.
What's your number? And is it like a number on cough medicine?
No. I've got lots of I don't know. Do you call it paracetamol over there? Ibuprofen, whatever it is. It's cold medicine. But no, I'm a zero. Monday night is not a big drinking night. It used to be when I was younger, but not anymore.
The number is not between a 19 and a 9.
No, it is not. It is not.
The score of the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I know. Please tell me that you're going to say they'll sort to Ben when Ben comes on, because he's the one that really likes golf.
All right. We'll be sure to give him the once over. All right, and then on the side here, we have Andrew, who's listening in. Last week, we had Jake listening in for the kid-friendly version of the show. Now that everybody has zeros for numbers, I have full confidence that you're going to keep this kid-friendly. Andrew's over here somewhere. He's going to listen. And he said he actually might chime in with some comment or two to put you all in your place if you don't know what you're talking about. But the first thing we're going to do is we had a night to sleep on it. We have calmer reactions. We'll talk about it. in the game recap. All right. So yesterday we did kind of get into the receivers. We got a little negative at times. We win this game and we yet just can't help but point out what scares us about it. Scott, I almost want you to go straight into your new theory if it applies to a game recap.
It applies a little bit, yeah. And it kind of applies to the Saints as a whole right now. And look, I came to this realization. Y'all may have come to this realization already, and maybe it just clicked in my brain finally. I don't know. So I'm not going to say anything like probably profound that you've never heard of before. But the Saints are not a passing team anymore. Like last night, I was bringing up Jameis Winston's yardage stats, right? And I started thinking about it today, this morning, and it's like, we're not going to have 250, 300 passing yards a game. It's gone. It's just not going to happen anymore. At least not right now. Now, when later on...
2021 identity.
Right. It's, we are a running team. We are going to run the ball. We are going to try to milk the clock and rely on our defense. The reason why, you know, we talked about in the offseason, why aren't we going after wide receivers? And then we all said, well, we're not going after wide receivers because Peyton's comfortable with our wide receivers. No. He wasn't necessarily comfortable with it. He was comfortable where they were at, but he had already made a game plan that we were going to be a running team. So he didn't need to go out and get all these high-priced wide receivers.
Did he consult with Les Miles on this game?
I don't know. Probably. That's his new, advisor. No, we're a running team now. And that's what it's going to be.
So the offensive strategy is being a running ground.
A run first team.
Dare I say pound.
A run first team, you know, we'll throw to Kamara out of the backfield. I mean, he had, 118 total yards yesterday between running and catching. 89 were on the ground, 24 carries. He's consistently having more and more carries every game. That's us. That's why we got rid of Latavius Murray and we kept Jones Jr. because he could run better. You know, we're a running team now. I think somebody said it yesterday. I don't know if it was in the chat or if it was on the show, on the reaction show, but you know, Jameis just has to be Trent Dilfer, basically.
Yeah, somebody said that.
Wes said that. He just has to not make mistakes and ball control, don't throw picks. And the rest will take care of the rest. He had zero interceptions yesterday with two touchdowns. Now, y'all can go into debate about that one play with Callaway, which I'm sure y'all will because we've been talking about it all freaking day long. But we're not a passing team anymore. Now, when Michael Thomas comes back, we might revert more to passing, might be more of a mix, all right, 50-50. But right now, we are a running team. We're a run-first team, and that's it. So I said, if Jameis doesn't throw for 150 against the Giants, we're in trouble. I don't think that anymore. He doesn't necessarily need to throw for 150 against the Giants or more. Those days are over. If he gets a 250, 300 game, you know, then it's going to be an anomaly more than it will be the rule.
So I'll just say that the Saints last year were sixth in the league in rushing yards per game. And we were around 20th or 21st in passing yards per game last year with Breeze. So, just in response to that, Scott, I'll just say, welcome to the party, pal.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like it finally clicked in my head and y'all might have known this already and that's fine, but it finally clicked in my head. And I think he might've been transitioning to this when Breeze couldn't start, you know, Breeze couldn't throw the deep pass anymore. Right. So he started maybe transitioning to this last year. Now, we can also get into debate of whether he likes this kind of offense, because I necessarily don't think he likes this kind of offense. I think he'd prefer to pass it.
Well, but you have to
coach that he's versatile, and he can do either one.
But how many coaches
trying to be Bill Belichick?
What's that?
I think he's trying to be Bill Belichick at some point, where when he gets confidence with Michael Thomas, there's going to be a game where we still this season throw the ball 60 times and hand the ball off 4 times.
There's going to be
a game.
I bet you if that happens, we lose that game.
But I think Peyton will get comfortable enough to where I think that he's going to try to coach the way we've seen Belichick do that. Even with Tom Brady, there's also games where they ran the ball 70 times, it seems like. So, and barely threw it. So I think that he'll, I agree with the second part of what you're saying, Scott. I think that he'll tailor it to the game plan, but in general, he's moving towards a running offense. And when we're a defensive team.
You're right. And I don't think that's what it is. I don't think he likes that. I think he'd rather pass the ball, which is a reason why I don't know that Jameis will be our long-term solution. And that's another conversation that we can have that we had on our chat today too. Like, I don't necessarily know that Jameis is a long-term solution because he wants somebody that can sling it around and be smart with the ball. I think his main fear with Jameis throwing a lot is that he's going to start throwing interceptions. So he decided we need to run more.
Well, I think you're partly right. I think a lot of what we're seeing so far this season is Peyton being ultra cautious. And that leads into running the ball more. You know, look, the touchdown against Green Bay where he threw it 50 yards. He only did that because we were however many points ahead we were at the time. We were 29, 28, 29 points up at the time, weren't we, or whatever it was. He's not going to do that in a close game. Not yet.
He's not taking shots deep. unless we're ahead.
Approach rather than a, you know, I mean, is it 60%?
It's a kill shot.
60% running we are at the moment to 40% pass, yeah. I think, is what our snap count is currently, 60-40, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's more out of caution than...
And I think it might grow. Like, I think it might end up being 70-30 at some point. Until we get Michael Thomas back, we'll see what happens then. Like, he might completely just flip the game plan and be like, all right, MT's
then
back.
If that happens, then it's more about Michael Thomas not being there than it is about Jameis being your quarterback.
But it could be a combination of two.
I'm going to give credit to – I think Sean Payton's a great coach that I don't think he – yes, I think he likes the big throwing offense. He's a quarterback and all. I think he wants to win. I think he's he's past all that. I think that even on this team, if the offensive line's completely healthy with Kamara, with Michael Thomas, with Traquan Smith, put all those people in this game healthy, our defensive unit is more talented than our offensive unit. And that's not a dig on the offensive unit, because I think that's the best off in the game and probably the best running back in the game or one of the three. Our defensive unit is superior to nearly every offensive unit in football this year. So I think just the smart thing to do is let the offense have long sustained drives, let the defense rest, and then let the defense go get turnovers and hit people in the mouth. And I don't know how good our offense would have to be better than our defensive unit is this year. So I think that some of it's just smart. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is or who's healthy.
So we are the
defense is amazing.
Was it the 01 Ravens or what year was it?
Whatever year.
The Dilfer year.
Yeah, when Peyton Manning's with the Broncos, his last, you know, Super Bowl that he won. That's what we are. And it's just people need to taper their expectations and understand that that is what we're going to be. And knowing that, I promise you, whoever doesn't think that or is having trouble coming to that realization, the sooner you come to that realization, the happier you will be. Because you will be frustrated.
The only thing I'd adjust, Scott, is you said the Saints are a running team. Like, that's, yes, that is our offensive strategy. But like Wes was just saying, the Saints' identity, the team identity, is we are a defensive team.
For sure.
I agree with that.
Because when we have the ball on offense, when we have the ball on offense, we want to have long sustaining drives and run the ball and keep the clock going. That's the point of us running the ball as opposed to having incompletes.
Yeah. Here's a question. Because the league has been pushing and becoming a pass league, which then means that teams have built defenses to respect the pass more. Is Sean Payton actually ahead of the curve by going with a run? Because now all you care about is you've built your defense and you're going to give up on the run because maybe you've got thinner defensive linemen and because you're only investing in the secondary or, you know, the third area of the field, that it makes it easier to run the ball. am I reaching here?
No, I mean, I could see that for sure, that he's the head of the league. And I think that he has built the defense based on the fact that it's a passing league. Like, our best players are our cornerbacks. Right. And then you go probably linebacker, defensive line.
They are, but our run defense is statistically
really good too.
Best over the last 3 years, isn't it?
I think over the last 3 years, the way they've built the team was to prepare for Drew's exit. And the only way to fill the hole or the void that Drew leaves is a defense and a run game.
Yeah.
So I think they did a masterful job over the last several years of preparing as best you can when you lose the greatest player to ever play football.
In the Saints.
What you laughing at, boy?
I agree with that.
He's laughing because he agrees with it.
Yeah, he snorted.
I think it's exciting to see. Like, I mean, the defense can hold and can hold for longer. I think that what we're looking at with the players that we have and the fact that they've been able to replace the defensive interior linemen without high draft picks or even using draft picks at all on it is pretty impressive. And now we've got, you know, the rest of our defensive backfield is going to be here for a while. Our linebackers are going to be here for a while. We've got some young defensive ends. This is a defense that can hold for a while besides Marcus Williams, whatever's going to happen with him. And honestly, I think that's the position. If I was going to have to replace one of those positions, that's the position that I would want to be replacing.
There you have it. It's a great conversation about the game yesterday in the game recap. One thing, I don't want to make the game about this one play. Even though that
I wonder which play this might be,
right? This is the
Taysom Hill hurdle, right?
This stems from my disappointment. Like, this morning I woke up and I was scrolling through Twitter looking for some reading material about the game, and literally every
that was your
professional
first
reporter that covers the Saints, it's almost like there was a memo that the Saints put out and everybody just copy pasted a PSA and pass it off as reporting journalism, except for Nick Underhill, who, as is tradition, actually gave us something more than just the talking point of Jameis Winston said that the pass was all God, right? Like that, but that was every single other person. Well, actually, I'll give Sigler credit as well. Sigler and Underhill were the only two that went a different route as far as talking points goes. And so that then brought up the whole debate that we had internally about, like, I am sorry, everybody can say, oh, but he said this. He said that it was God. He said that he meant to throw it out of bounds. I watched that play over 50 times on loop, and I do not believe that that was a total throwaway. I believe he was throwing it away, but there is a reason why he threw it away where he threw it away, because he did have a prayer that God answered, which was, I'm gonna throw this ball away, but if Callaway catches it, you know, that's pretty cool too, you know.
You know, we're still talking about this
3 yards left of 3 yards right. He could have thrown it away. He knew Callaway was in the area.
He threw it away the way he threw it away because he had a man around his waist and he was falling to the ground.
But he still could have thrown it away that way.
The last time that Jameis was standing upright and could see the end zone, Callaway was laying on the ground.
Wrong. He had gotten
oh goodness.
Right. Jeff, if he just thrown it left or right, that's intentional grounding. So the only option was to try and get it out the back of the end zone, which is what he was trying to do.
And he just couldn't put enough on it because he
was on his ass.
And also the back of the end zone was way
closer. Throw it out, but he happened to throw it where Callaway was.
I'm a Jameis supporter of all that. I can't get there. Like, I can't watch that play. I don't see any of that.
He threw a prayer and God answered it.
So he's a con man preacher is what you're saying.
But why isn't he saying, of course I saw him. I just used arm strength and I just put it up to give my guy a chance because I believe in him. He would be saying that versus like, yeah, oops.
No, because Sean Payton told him, if you're going to throw it away, throw it away. Yes, coach. I don't want to get in any more trouble. Or if he says, yeah, I did that, then everybody's going to jump on him for, why would you put the team at risk for an interception? No, I meant to throw it away. And Callaway made an acrobatic catch. He intercepted my throwaway. But is what he's saying. So Callaway never should have went up for it, is what you're saying.
No, because if he hadn't done it, it would have been a pick.
He just he didn't throw it high enough when he was throwing it away because it was a
bad. So
sacked.
What you're saying is a bad throwaway.
Yes, it was a bad throw. That's all we could put onto it.
So to you, Jeff, Jameis has 4 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this year since Callaway intercepted him.
Yeah. Well, at least he's throwing interceptions to the right team.
So I put a poll on Twitter, and I've got the response here. So there were 52 votes. 73% said that he didn't know Callaway was there and was trying to throw it out the back of the end zone, and it was a fluke.
72% of people don't know what they're talking
27%
about.
Of the people agree with you, Jeff.
That's fine.
So 27% of people are wrong.
Yes. I watched him look. He knows where his guys are going to be. He knows the play.
Does he?
He just, knew somebody was going to be in the area.
Okay.
You can't.
Good timing. Good timing, Jason. Great timing.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
I was going to get a freaking Zapruder film over here you guys are talking about.
I mean, I get it. If I was going to throw something away, I would do it in a way that, you know what, maybe Wes could get up there and get that ball.
If you're throwing it away, you put it at the back of the end zone where nobody can catch it apart from the fans.
Only one person could catch it, and it was Callaway, and he caught it.
Right. He threw it away in a way that only Callaway should find a way.
By the bay, did he eat some hay?
I just may.
Have a nice day. All right. What else about the game? So we had the instant reaction. What else about the game still stands out to you today besides that one debate?
Block punt. Special teams, at least on that side of the kicking game.
Oh, Wes, you predicted that Lutz would come off of the IR today.
Well, this week. They're not going to
make any. These L's will come back this week.
Yeah, we don't even practice against a Wednesday, so there won't be any kind of updates till at least Wednesday on the Saints. But this week.
And
Lutz and Traquan Smith. There's going to be a couple of people coming off IR this week. Hopefully it's those two.
Yeah, and I mean, just because they come off IR, I mean that they are ready to go. This means they're coming off of IR. So we'll have to wait and see.
Whatever happens, I don't think Rosas is going to be kicking in the dome next.
Yeah, he needs to geo somewhere.
To be fair, now he missed the short field goal. To be fair, I would say it's good coaching by Bill Belichick of calling the timeout with 14 seconds left in the first quarter to make him kick into the wind, the 52-yarder. I mean, whether he should make it or not, I don't know, but Peyton had ran that up to where the quarter was going to run out and Rosas could kick with the wind and have a much easier kick to start the second quarter. So, Rosas should go.
Yeah, I think that I honestly feel like our instant reaction was quote unquote measured and not outrageous. I think we were on with a lot of how we felt about the game. I don't think we overreacted other than maybe the debate over the receivers, which has been the central debate this season.
I mean, if anything, we were, you know, we were enjoying the victory. I mean, I was kind of giddy. Granted, I was a 7.
You
but
were definitely enjoying the victory.
Definitely enjoying.
I like how Jason was like, no negativity, only positive thoughts.
I think the more negatives will come on, you know, the outrage more comes on the days we lose.
And at the draft.
And at the draft.
I mean, what's funny is I went to dinner and I had a beer and I was sobering up. And then somehow I decided to keep drinking last night. And I got my level back up again last night. Celebrating the win.
Is that why you were
built an excuse?
Hammering me on the intro?
Among others. I mean, look, that's the instant reaction song. You shouldn't stray from it. It's the thing.
He doesn't know because he doesn't listen.
That's right.
Yeah, I listened to this one.
Super excited about the defense. I mean, that's where I think the best thing with our reactions. I mean, those those the pressure we got on the quarterback, the interceptions, and just the way the defense tackled and held yesterday was awesome.
Did you guys talk about Armstead yet?
No.
No, we did not. Wait, something happened with Armstead?
So,
where's Romero?
Classic Armstead.
His annual injury, unfortunately, this one was friendly fire, but they said he's going to miss a few weeks. At least that was the early report today.
Early rumor is a few weeks. Of course, I mean, Underhill came back and said, like, you know what, the Armstead's had hand surgery last year that nobody knew about, and he played through without missing any time and didn't even tell anybody he had the surgery. And then a couple years ago where he had the torn pec and couldn't even lift up his arm, and he played with it. So I think, I mean, same thing. I mean, people thought Lattimore was going to miss multiple weeks with a bone chip hand surgery. We'll see what happens with Armstead. He's tough.
So how did Armstead get hurt? The wind changed direction, or?
This is a legitimate, like, he got nailed by Tony Jones Jr.'s helmet.
Yeah.
I thought,
like,
he was fishing.
For a fragile guy like that, that was a very, yeah.
he was playing in flip-flops. He fell.
Yeah, and fishing.
Yeah, he's playing for basketball.
Yeah, playing basketball like Zion. Allegedly.
So I was looking on the Patriots side of things, and they, you know, their media, the way they cover the game, obviously they look at their players. Jonnu Smith was the lowest graded offensive player on their end with a 27.2 grade from Pro Football Focus. And apparently they're very disappointed in him this whole year. So I remember on our preview last week, we talked about needing to make sure Jonnu Smith doesn't beat us. I think mission accomplished.
I mean, we held them to what, like 40 something yards rushing?
49,
yeah.
That continues to be amazing. Just how stout our run defense is. And now,
their leading rusher was Mac Jones.
And I know they don't have a bunch of great backs, but still, 49 yards. It's not quite holding them to Bears level offense, but it's pretty damn good.
Our two highest graded offensive players, both tied with an 82.1, was Deontay Harris and Marquez Callaway. And I think that I probably chilled out the last day about the Marquez Callaway 4 catches for 41 yards. Let's just remember, this is a guy that is an undrafted free agent from a year and a half ago that didn't have a preseason last year. And I think that it was easy for us to all get super, super excited about his two preseason games and really his one quarter of preseason. But, like, tempering expectations, he was not drafted for a reason. He barely played last year. He had no preseason last year. I mean, this is a guy still coming in. For him to have 4 catches, 41 yards, is still impressive for what should be the fourth or fifth receiver on your team that doesn't even see the field. He's, you know, he could still be something someday.
Saints defense held the Patriots to 2.9 yards per carry on the ground. 2.9. And they hit Mac Jones 11 times.
Yeah.
They were relentless. And I think, Jason, during the game, somebody commented, maybe it was you, about how we couldn't really get pressure without blitzing, or maybe in the instant reaction you mentioned that somebody said.
Probably both, yeah.
But even with the way the game plan went, I mean, I really think some of that, right, we weren't blitzing because we were playing that prevent defense in the third quarter.
This wasn't as crazy as it, but this is Sean Payton being as close to the Denver game plan last year as he's probably going to get this year with Winston as a quarterback. Of like, our defense is way better than their offense. They can't beat us. We're not going to do anything stupid. So I feel like, I mean, he didn't go as far as to say, like, don't throw the ball ever, no matter what, which he basically did in Denver. But I mean, it just seems like it was a game where he was like, he told us all week the game plan. If we turn over the ball more than them, they're going to beat us. If we win the turnover battle, they can't beat us.
Yeah.
And it just seems like there was just a commitment of, like, you guys don't screw this up. Like, we don't have to do anything or show any kind of game plan whatsoever besides just not being stupid.
So if you take the Green Bay game, which had a little bit of some creative play calling, but the Carolina loss, very conservative, uninspired play calling. This game, most of the game, you didn't need it. Like, you scored, your defense scored, you play the defensive game. Third quarter was run, 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 pass, run, run, run. Really, the next teams don't have any film on the Saints. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we haven't even opened the playbook yet. So I'm liking that as well, because when the new players start to reload, when we start to reload and we get a creative playbook, I mean, I can't imagine this team not making playoffs. Or winning. The only way we won't win the division is if Tampa doesn't lose, which we're going to beat them twice. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it, I guess, more in the game preview. So I don't want to really go into too much, but I think that you'll kind of see a similar game plan. Like you said, like our defense is a lot better than our offense, but I also think that our offense is probably a lot better than their defense as far as the Giants go. So you might see him open it up a little bit more.
And Jeff, Tampa did lose yesterday.
Classic, I know, but Jeff.
They're going to have to keep losing. So yeah. Okay. We beat Tampa. Then we got the leg up, right? All right. I think that's enough for the game recap. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's get into pick'ems.
Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control.
Yeah, I don't have my shit in front of me. I got nothing. Right. I gave you the games. That's all I gave you.
Solid, Jason, this is a kid-friendly show, by the way.
Oh.
The first game.
Oh, I'm sorry. You hosting this show?
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead then.
Jason usually does pick-ems. I was trying to help you. I don't know if you had it in front of you. Go ahead.
I'm messing with you. But first, we do need to look at the records from last week. So, you do the game, Scott. That's fine. Because I don't do that good. You know what? We don't need to look at records from this week.
Yeah, I think we do, Jeff. I'm curious to see what happens.
So, James, you won the week with a 4-1 record. Looks like Scott, Jason, and Ben all went 2-3, along with Uncle Baby Billy. Wes, you went 1-4.
Oof.
And that's all that matters.
How'd you do, Jeff? Jeff, did you head pick him?
So you was 0-5 then.
Yeah.
Joined the club for me last week.
You know, I picked those damn 49ers. The one time I'm willing to take them.
Right, because that one game was why you were so bad.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's why I was 0-5, yeah. So, all right, in the larger league, Allie Gibbs, 12-3. Allie Gibbs is running away with this. Followed by Big Easy Gaijon. Scott, you now took the third place in the overall. Trevor Bruno, Paul Perrette, Dad the Twins, then me and Chris Farmer and Uncle Baby Billy all tied. James, the Mailman, Mr. Coach Klein, and Neil round out the winner's side. And then we go into the loser's bracket, which is Jake, Ben, Jason, Wes, Carp, Sans Hobbs, Drummer, Jambalaya Bros, and Andrew. You're in last place. All right, Scott, what's our first game?
Our first game is the Seattle Seahawks, who lost to the Vikings yesterday, 30-17. They are 1-2. They will be traveling to play the 49ers in a divisional matchup. The Niners lost to the Packers, 30-28. The Niners are 2-1 right now, and the Niners are favored by 3.
They're actually favoring the Niners by 3?
Well, they're at home, so it's basically just...
I'll go first. Fuck the 49ers. I'm taking Seattle. Aren't they on, like, their third running back?
The Niners? Yeah, they've
fourth
had some issues, yeah.
I had the third. I'm going to take Seattle.
Ooh, Andrew's taking Seattle?
Really? The Niner? Is he the one that's the Niners fan?
No, Jake's the 49ers
Jake's
fan.
Jake's the Niners fan, okay.
I'm
going to take Seattle as well.
I'll take the 49ers. The Seahawks only win is against a terrible Colts team.
Yep. Give me San Francisco.
All right. So James and Wes are taking San Fran. Me and Scott are taking Seattle.
Start to second guess my pick now.
And Andrew taking Seattle.
All right.
Our
next game, the Carolina Panthers, who defeated the Texans last week 24-9. They are undefeated at 3-0. Head to Dallas to face the Cowboys, who are playing tonight. So the Cowboys will be on a short week. They are currently 1-1. Carolina travels to Dallas. The Cowboys are favored by 4.
I genuinely believe the Panthers are in a false position. They've played the Jets, us, weakened by injuries and no coaches, and the Texans. Give me the Cowboys.
What's the status of McCaffrey?
Out.
Is he? I mean, he has a hamstring. I don't know if he is he out for next game.
A hamstring? That's gonna bother him all year.
Yeah, he's not gonna play this week. He's not gonna play this week.
If it was an ankle, it would bother him next year too.
It would.
I will take. Oh, man, this is a tough one, but I think I'm going to take Dallas on this one just for the fact that McCaffrey's out.
I'll take Carolina. I think that the Cowboys win, but I think it's within 4, so I'll take Carolina.
I'm going to take Dallas. It's scaring me that I'm agreeing with Jeff on these.
What's that?
Did you take Dallas too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scaring me that I'm agreeing with you on these.
You know, other than last week, I'm outperforming all of you in pick'ems.
The next game is the Arizona Cardinals. What did they do this week? They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 31-19. They are undefeated, and they are heading to the Rams, who defeated the Bucks 34-24, who are also undefeated. So two undefeated teams. Going against each other. And the Rams are actually favored by 6.
Whoa. Again, the Cardinals. It's way too many points.
Yep. Same here. Too many points.
I will agree. I will take 6 points against or with Arizona.
What was the Arizona score this week? 31-19.
Scott, you're the only one.
I'm going to take the Rams. Arizona gave up 19 points to the Jaguars this week.
But they scored more than them, right?
They did, but okay. I'm just saying that their defense
They really gave up 12. 7 of them were like a fluke field goal. Yeah. Whatever. But no, I like that me and you are picking everything opposite, Scott. So.
I'm going to take the Rams. They're gonna blow them. I'm high on Stafford right now.
They're going to what?
Blow them out. Oh. Sorry. That's what I meant to say. I don't know what I said, but that's what I meant to say. The next game, the Baltimore Ravens, who defeated the Lions 19-17. Very close game. They are heading to Denver to face Teddy Two Gloves, who they beat the Jets 26-0. Broncos are 3-0 right now. And the Broncos are only favored by 1.
Who have the Broncos played that they're undefeated?
NFL football teams?
The Jets, the Jaguars, and the Giants, the 3 worst teams.
Dude. Yes, Jets, Giants, and Jaguars.
But Teddy's thrown for like 827 yards or something like that.
You don't need to throw for a lot of yards to win football games.
But it's Teddy. Okay, Taysom.
Taysom or Jameis or anyone in a Saints uniform in 2021. Ian Book hasn't thrown for a lot of yards. And he's also 2-1.
Baltimore, please.
Yeah, this one's kind of an easy one.
I'll take Baltimore.
I'm going to take the Broncos. I suck at pickles.
I'm going to take the Ravens.
If anybody could go back right now to the start of the season and swap Jameis for Teddy, would you rather Teddy be our starting quarterback right now and for the first 3 weeks of the season going into this?
I don't think it would have made a difference. I think we'd still be 2-1.
So
I'm keeping Jameis.
No.
I'm happy.
That's a no for me. I wouldn't change it.
I'd probably keep Jameis. All right. That's everybody. So
Jameis has a higher ceiling.
Hey, can I go pick one of the earlier games so I can give my pick?
Yeah, Seattle, San Fran, Seattle plus 3.
I'll take the points. Give me Seattle. Does anybody know how bad I know Tyler Lockett left the game. Week to week,
but I don't think he's going to play this week.
All right, yeah, then give me the – no, fuck
San Francisco it, also is going to use a guy off the street as their running back.
Oh, okay. I'll take Seattle. Okay.
Carolina at Dallas. Dallas minus 4. That's Carolina.
No McCaffrey. Give me Dallas.
Without McCaffrey. There you go. Arizona at the Rams.
For
the
Rams.
Game of the right.
Rams are getting Rams, 6. Giving up six.
That's all right. Minus give me the Rams.
Oh.
I took them too. And the Ravens at Denver. Denver's favorite.
Yeah.
Denver's giving up one.
Okay. Yeah. I took Denver on that one.
Denver. Okay. All right. Now it is time for our shitty game of.
Here we go. Of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a
big the week.
Did your voice crack there? A little bit. Going through puberty?
The Detroit Lions, who lost on a heartbreak last second 66-yard field goal to lose 19-17, and actually got screwed because the play before that was a delay of game that wasn't called on the Ravens, so they got double screwed. They are heading to Chicago, who lost to somebody, I'm sure.
They hit 47.
They lost to the Browns. They lost to the Browns 26-16. Justin Tucker's 66-yard field goal was 19 yards longer than the Bears' offense gained last week. The Bears are at home, and they are actually favored by 3.
Justin Fields threw for 68 yards yesterday, but lost 67 yards in sacks.
And was sacked 9 times.
9 times.
All right, yeah. We're giving Detroit 3 points. I'm going to take Detroit.
Have you ever had a 0-0 draw in the NFL before?
Right. I'm gonna take the Bears based on the fact that I think that Andy Dalton comes back this week, and he's terrible, but the Lions are also super.
I think Nick Foles is gonna start for the Bears this week, so give me Chicago.
Give me Detroit. Chicago's a dumpster fire.
And what is Detroit?
The dumpster.
An unlucky dumpster.
A dumpster smoldering. The fire is maybe out, but it's still smoldering. I don't know.
Speaking of Detroit, did you see that this last week? They're inducting Megatron into something, doing his Hall of Fame ring ceremony. And while the owner of the Lions is talking, the entire crowd is booing loudly, like louder than they booed the opposing team, like while they're introducing Calvin Johnson.
Wow.
Like they hate the ownership there.
Jeff, did you make your pick?
Yeah, I picked Detroit.
All right, give me Chicago. I'm hoping that Fields doesn't start. Give me Chicago.
That's what I'm going for, too.
All right, Amari, that's your picks.
Yeah, we've got Seattle at San Francisco. San Francisco is favored by 3. Carolina at Dallas. Dallas is favored by 4. Cardinals at the Rams. Rams are favored by 6. Ravens at Denver. Denver is favored by 1. And Detroit at Chicago. Chicago is favored by 3. Get your picks in.
Did Jeff leave?
No. Andrew's arguing because he said he wants the Rams because they're getting 6. And I said, no, the Cardinals are getting 6. So you can edit that out. He wants the points. He doesn't understand how spreads work. He's just like his old man. All right. That's how you get your picks in before the games kick off on Sunday, everybody, or else you forfeit your chance to pick a winner. And you can tweet us at Dome Patrol Podcast. Make sure you hashtag Pick'ems when you do. And that takes us into our next segment, which is Saints Preview.
What up, New Orleans? This fall, a diehard Saints fan, you heard me? They want to need a room for their team, but I don't do that. Baby, I'm a Saints fan, that's why I say who that. And if you a true who that, I need you to make some noise, you heard me?
Who that said they gon' beat them Saints?
I said if you a true who that, I need you to make some noise, you heard me?
Who that said they gon' beat them Saints?
Let's go, bring them to the dome, we gon' chew them up and spit them out. Anybody not rocking with the Saints, get them out. My daddy, he a Saints fan, mama, she a Saints fan. What you think that make me? Man, I'm a Saints fan.
And we've all teased the fact that we get a gimme this week.
Just like week two.
Shit.
I mean,
so, yeah, the Giants come down for the Saints' first official, like, well, the first real home game in the Dome. Jason, you're going to be there.
Hell yeah. Excited.
Wes, you're going to be there.
Gun might be there.
Dome's gonna be right. I don't think this is gonna be like a Katrina 2006 return.
Be close.
Pipe game.
Be close.
Green Day is gonna be there.
Right.
You too.
But I do think there's gonna be a I wonder how, like, what kind of atmosphere is gonna be there. Because it's your first game in the Dome without Drew Brees. Is Drew Brees gonna be there?
Yes. He flew into New Orleans today.
He's back in the city today.
So
it's gonna be loud.
They're not gonna retire his number this early, are they?
No, he might leave. You save that
for like a playoff game,
the game against the Buccaneers.
Right.
Yes. He might lead the Houdat chant or something. It's gonna be loud. I think it's gonna be close to the Katrina game. I mean, they haven't had a home game in over a year since 2019. Coming out of Ida, it's gonna be loud.
I think the people there are going to try to recreate that feeling. Just, I mean, obviously, it wasn't a year away. It wasn't it's not the same situation, but I think they're mentally going to try and get there and create that atmosphere.
You know, I said earlier, Sean Payton might open up the playbook a little bit more. I think our defense will be dominant. I kind of like the Patriots. I don't see how the Giants score on us very much. But I do see how we score on them quite a bit. Even if we have just the running game going, I think we can put up points. So
I am curious if the offense, if there's going to be a spark to the offense, finally playing at home, getting to sleep in their own beds this week. And I mean, that's going to be big, you know, to really maybe unleash a little bit.
The spark is named Taysom Hill.
Thought it was Kenny Stills.
And also, I mean, the Giants are just, I mean, awful. Saquon Barkley's clearly not healthy from his ACL tear. He's got 134 yards on the season. And I think Shepard went out yesterday. He was holding his hamstring. He left at the start of the game. If he doesn't play, like, Kenny Galladay got old really fast. I don't know what happened to him. He signed that big contract. He was great for the Lions last year. Yeah. Still looked like Galladay, but he's a different guy this year.
Injuries. He didn't play. He was hurt a lot last year.
I just don't see – again, I agree with Scott. I don't see how they score on us. It's even if our defense wasn't what our defense is.
Like, yeah, Barkley's highest game was against Washington, where he ran for 57 yards.
And that was basically one long run he had.
He has a 41-yard run. He's averaging 3.4 yards a carry. Like, yeah.
Take that one out, and right, you're looking at 50,
less 60. Than 100 yards for the season.
Yeah,
I'm wondering how much it is him.
Against the Saints offense or Saints defense. Right, Troy's running.
I'm wondering how much it's him or how much is their offensive line. Like, is their offensive line really bad?
No, they've always been bad, and he's always been. He does not look healthy. You can watch him, and like he's being tough out there. He's not, doesn't have the drive that he had.
We should get Ryan Nielsen back this week.
And maybe Lutz, maybe Traquan, just they're coming off IR, so I have to wait and see.
I think that either one of them, now I'm saying that, maybe not Lutz, but anybody else doesn't need to come off of IR to face the Giants. I think you rest them another week. We can no matter what.
Maybe Lutz, but
I was saying that before the last game. Now that we're talking about this out loud, please don't bring anybody off of IR for the Giants.
Yeah.
Especially not Traquan Smith.
Now, Daniel Jones has better stats than Jameis Winston.
How many wins does Daniel Jones have?
Except for that.
what stats are important?
He only has two touchdowns on the year, averaging.
He only has 250.
He only has two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah, two total.
How many picks?
Hey, Jax.
Zero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that'll change on Sunday.
Roughly 250 yards per game, but against the Saints defense. I guarantee he's going to have a less than 200. Yo, this is going to be the Giants are going to walk into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, this is
Who have they played that he's throwing this?
Like the they played Atlanta last week.
The Redskins, the Falcons, and the Broncos.
So they haven't amassed much against three of the league's worst teams. Y'all,
exactly.
They might have to surrender at halftime. Like
this is really setting up for like a 38-10 game or
38-10, dude. Give us some credit. Like try Well, I see the 38, but I see a shutout.
You don't see a pick six or something?
No, only Saints receivers are gonna catch those errant balls. Dude, seriously, if there's going to be a shutout, this might be the game. And here's a bold prediction sure to go wrong. I don't think the Giants cross the 50-yard line.
Wow.
That'll be taken care of in the first quarter on their own.
I don't think the Giants pass the 44-yard line in the first half.
There's no reason why we shouldn't.
No sacks on the year. So...
Yeah.
The offense is going to have an opportunity to throw the ball.
I almost expect kind of like the same game plan, like kind of a run heavy game plan. And so we get up and then maybe he'll throw it, but you don't need to show a lot to beat them. Right. So there's no need to we don't need to show a lot. So it might be, we might not score as much or Jameis might not have as many yards to run passing, but we'll win and it'll be convincing. Like the scoreboard might not show it being convincing, but it'll be convincing if you watch it.
I get what you're saying. That makes sense. So it could even be like a 28-0 game.
Right. You know, or they might score late to, you know, make it look better than what it is.
Go ahead with your score prediction.
I'm going to go 31-6.
Compare that to the
34-10. Yeah, I'll go 34-10. They just get a garbage time touchdown when the game's, you know, out of reach.
42-13.
To 39-10.
I'll go 31-0.
Miss a couple extra points to make it 39.
maybe a safety in there somewhere.
All right, 33. but yeah, I'm going to go 31-0.
Nice.
Well, because if Lutz is back, you're not going to miss any field goals.
Does anybody track our record, our score predictions? To we see don't if do anybody's that right
now.
No. But we could. I could have been right for every score this week.
Yeah.
This year.
Well, I mean, if you're right, you're. I never remember what my score prediction
was. I've been writing it down to see if I'm even close, and I'm never close.
Is anybody close?
I only write down mine.
He only writes his.
I only care about mine.
Let's start tracking that. I like that idea. Scott, that's you. Your score prediction.
I need everybody's score prediction again. Nobody's going to remember it.
I forgot what I said.
This is what I'll do. This is what I'll do.
You said 31-0, Jeff.
I know what
just I... listen to the podcast.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and listen. I'll fast forward to this part. And then just
what's fast forwarding?
That could be a segment.
Fast forward to this part.
What's fast forward?
Or the score predictions could be a segment.
The us reviewing the score predictions from last week.
I mean, that'll be part of game recap. We'll be like, who won?
Instant reaction,
right?
Without Jeff,
could be instant reaction.
I gotta say that was probably the most entertaining instant reaction show.
Oh dear! That's the only one you've ever listened to.
It was the quickest one because we didn't have to do 40 takes at the beginning.
All right. Okay. With that in mind, Survivor started this week. I think we should maybe do a Survivor episode pretty soon.
I agree with you. I agree with you guys.
What's that?
On Survivor.
We should do a Survivor.
Oh.
I agree with you guys.
Okay. I misspoke.
Andrew did a little research.
Am I allowed to say guys? Sorry. So, can I call you guys guys?
Yeah, people. Oh, okay. Just make it Andrew fun. Did a little prep research here for the game coming up, and he compared the top two receivers for the Giants compared to the Saints' top two people okay. who catch balls. So their top two receivers, 166 yards and 223 yards, compared to ours, which is 63 yards and 62 yards.
Was he listening at the beginning of the show when I said we don't need?
So he thinks we're going to lose.
No.
What's his score prediction?
What's your score prediction? Uh, 27-0, he said.
Put him on the spot.
Go. Is he picking the Giants or the Saints?
Saints. All right. How many sacks are we going to get? How many interceptions? Two sacks, two interceptions. All right, guys. Final thoughts. Got.
Just happy about the win. Ready for next week. And who that? Go Tigers. James? Listen to Tigers Den.
Drop in a little
plugging your show.
shocking. Like Scott, happy with the win. You know, not many teams go to New England and win games. Good sign for us moving forward. And you know, there's a real chance, even though my maths was off earlier on when we were talking, we could go into the bye 4-1, not 5-1.
All right, well, that's
Scott, what's your second final thought?
I was just going to say, if we win this game, I mean, we're pretty much, we'll at least be 3-2. We'll be above 500. So.
Yep.
Is he taking your final thought that way?
No. I kind of, I hate the feeling of this game that there's absolutely no way we lose. I really don't see a way the Giants can score without us like being extremely stupid multiple times. But it's nice knowing that I do trust our defense. I think our defense is that damn good, no matter what our offense does. And then we'll see this game, and then into Washington. It's exciting. Scott, you got a third final thought for us?
that's Jason's dog barking. That's not me.
Yeah.
All right, Jason. I saved the final thought. Your last final thought. You're the last one because I have a feeling I know the topic of your final thought.
Oh.
Yeah. Is it the Ryder's Cup?
No, I gave a little final thought on the Ryder Cup for the Instant Reaction Show. My final thought is I'm just so goddamn happy to get back in a dome that's going to be full of fans. Now, having to not have get to do that for so long, to finally get back the normal tailgating aspect, getting back in the dome, it's going to be electric. And I just want to see us put a beat down, you know, just put a beat down, cap off, start out 3-1, and I don't know, man. I'm excited to get back in that building.
All right. Andrew, you got a final thought? Better come up on the mic and say
it. Jamie Winston threw that ball to Callaway on purpose.
Oh, that's my boy. Now you don't have
How to many grass. Dollars did that cost you?
He doesn't have to cut the grass this week. He did it in Tampa a lot, but through to the Saints?
Yeah.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the Instant Reaction 2-Point Conversion, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BSN Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_Podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook. Also, check us out on Twitch at twitch.tv/Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Yeah, come.
Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye. Living on the road, donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
make it big. It's the only place where stars are born, and we are the only ones that can't be worn out by any place, regardless of the cost. Cause brothers with big dreams, sometimes they get lost. Cause we are no superstars who wanna be large and forget who we are. Don't judge us by bank accounts and big cars. No matter how bright we shine, we're far from being stars. The stars fall and disintegrate before they hit the asphalt. They incinerate, cause we came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill for those who appreciate those with skills. And what is a DJ without the elements? It's all irrelevant. I represent the real from the beginning to the end of it. End of it. End of it. Hey, this is Sherman Emerson. I'm here with Jurassic 5, all the way live.